Independent school operator Kuro released their annual results today. For the 12 months ended December 2018, the company reported revenue up 23% at 2.5 billion rand. EBITDA rose by 33% at 627 million rand. Meanwhile, headline earnings from continuing operations increased by 23% at 248 million rand, and on a per share basis, headline earnings came in at 60.1 cents. And the company has decided to disperse a maiden dividend to shareholders of 12 cents per share. To tell us what's happening at the company, I'm joined on the line by Andre Grayling. He's the CEO at Kuro. Andre, your headline numbers are looking healthy, and I see you've managed to grow your learners at your Kuro schools by 16% to just under 42,000 learners. Just tell us about that.
If you look at Kuro as a whole, we had a brilliant year growing our earnings per share by 25%, which in a difficult year, I think a difficult economy, it was a good year for us. So we were quite happy with the 2018 figures. If you then go into this year, starting with 2019, and you look at our learner numbers, as you are aware, we've got four brands, which is the Kuro, Kuro Academies, the Meridian, the Castles, and then the Select Schools. We are quite happy to say that in total, our school grew by 12% from 2018 to 2019. As you said, the Kuro and the Academies a bit more than the rest. But we organically grew about 7%, and then we also had new acquisitions that added to the numbers, and then some of our greenfields added also. So we are quite pleased growing with 12% into 2019.
Just tell us a little bit about your Meridian business. What does it do, and why was there a slight decline there of about 4%?
The Meridian business is a venture that we started in 2013 with Old Mutual, and out of that, Kuro Academies were born, and they purely playing in the lower end market, lower fee market, and the Meridian's ring-fenced at seven campuses. And they are more in rural areas, like in Polokwane, in Elsberg, Rustenburg. So it's where the economies and areas are going through difficult times in the in the rural areas. That model will be a bit under pressure.
Understood.
But we stabilize it, and we saw some EBITDA growth in Meridian, even though the numbers are under pressure.
Right. So at an academic level, you report that your 2018 grade 12 learners achieved IEB exam passes of 99.7%. What are Kuro's guiding principles that you feel are enabling your schools to achieve this kind of academic excellence?
We're following two models. The IEB exam is the independent examination board. Our Kuro and our Select Schools are writing, and that's more in your higher mid-fee market. And then our Meridian Academies, which are schools in the lower fee market, they are more situated in townships. They are doing the national exam. So what we've done over the years is to invest a lot of money into our quality of our curriculum. You can't wait until grade 12 to determine the quality at a school. So we've got systems in place where our youngsters from a grade R level up to grade 12, the teachers follow a specific curriculum, which are monitored by a team at head office. And then they're making sure that where there's help required, they move in an assisted teacher and making sure that learners are exposed to the correct standard of education, quality of exams, etc. And then there's also a huge amount of development into new world trends, which is robotics, coding, and drone flying, all those nice things that becomes part of life these days.
Yes.
So I'm really proud of our results in both exams, the IEB and the national exam. The national exam, we had a 94% pass rate, which for us is brilliant.
So clearly your scholar numbers are growing. And with that, what's your average teacher-learner ratio looking like? And presumably that's something you'd be keen to keep an eye on.
It is currently, as you open new schools, you will have lower ratios as the school needs to grow into maturity. So currently it's standing at a 17-to-1 ratio. And now obviously we want to get that up, but that will only grow as the schools reach maturity. And each year we're adding new greenfields and new acquisitions into the mix. So that will always distort your figure, because you know, the older schools will show other ratios, and then the younger schools will still have lower ratios because you'll maybe sit with a grade 7 class of 8 learners in your first year, you know, so you're still growing to maturity.
You did touch on it a bit before. I mean, there's a lot of talk these days about the fourth industrial revolution and whether the broader national education system can get with the program and ready our children for an evolving future. And I see that last year you did invest in a tech school that speaks exactly to this future with a focus on math, science, robotics and coding. How much interest have you had in that particular school? And is this something that you plan to integrate into your existing schools in the near future, as obviously not everybody will want to attend just a specific tech school?
We were actually, we started two models this year. The one is the tech one you're talking about, and then the national vocational certificates, where we're more focusing on a specialized industry like finance, IT, where a learner will then in grade 10, you know, go into that specific direction earlier than purely following academic side. And that the benefit for a learner is they don't need to pass two languages. They only have to pass one language, which a lot of learners fail. In South Africa, you can only pass grade 12 in English or Afrikaans. You can't do it in any of the other languages. So we were quite surprised with the uptake. We opened this new model at Foreshore, and we currently got over 40 learners. We actually planned only to have one class of about 30. The demand and the take-up was quite high. Are we doing this in our current schools? There's a lot of the technology and 21st century teaching, deep learning, robotics, coding happening in our current schools as well. But this one is a bit different, where you give the children more access to pre-recorded lessons, and it's a lot more group work involved than at the current school. So we gradually will integrate one to another.
Right. So I see in terms of growth and investment, you did make some investment, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, of about 1.2 billion rand. And there was quite a bit of focus on Gauteng. What are your future plans for growing the Kuro business?
What we said to the market is that we will focus for Greenfield specifically in Gauteng, and the Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal, just because we see the biggest demand being there. And then if we do acquisitions, we'll do it in the rest of South Africa. And even if we get schools in Gauteng, we will buy what we can acquire, we'll acquire in Gauteng. So currently, you know, last year, we had a massive year, if you look at the number of campuses that we add to our group. So looking forward, we still foresee adding another, this year we're going to add another 9 campuses to our group to open in 2020. So we're currently at 68 campuses, and hopefully next year we'll open with over 75.
Andre, any concerns about your margins going forward, as household finances are under pressure in this lackluster economy? And when it comes to raising fees, any worries that getting decent increases may be tricky?
It's obviously one thing why you also see leavers within your group. It's just because of financial constraints. I think you'd be arrogant to just ignore it. So for us, obviously, it's making sure that you offer value in your product, making sure that it stays affordable for parents, and be responsible when you do increases. So if you look at education inflation, that's way past normal inflation.
Yes.
So what we are currently doing whenever we look at increases is we'll determine per school where we are and where that school is situated, and how comparable their fees are. So we don't use a blanket approach for all our schools. We will specifically look at increases individually per grade, etc. So we continuously will look at that and make sure that we stay competitive with our prices. Playing in a mid-fee range in the private education, it gives us a bit of scope, because our fees aren't, you know, the 10,000-12,000 a month fees. We're more pitching the 4,500 range.
That was Andre Grayling. He's the CEO at Kuro.